All Roads Lead to Rome, Part 13, by Pastor Bob Reed, 19 October 2014. Posted to fivedoves.com via pastorbobreed.com/allroads. Pastor Bob Reed's last name is spelled R-E-I-D. This is read with possible mispronunciations, for which I apologize. Quote, All Doves. Last time I left off with the Vatican's change in American land titles from Eloidial to Fee Simple Deeds, which utilized the Roman trusts as a model. This sneaky act was a result of the Emperor Nero setting fire to the Roman Senate, and to blame it on the Christians for setting fire to the Roman Senate. Nero and the Roman Senate did this as an act of distraction. This event is typical of a symbolic or a false flag event. We are told that Nero and his gang blamed the fire on the Christians. According to historical records, the problem was that the fire was set in the Christian section. They had nothing to gain by setting fire to their own section. As often is the case, the victors of war write the story line taught in the schools. After the fires burned out, the Roman Senate created a land trust, and into the trust they entered all the estates of Romans who owned property. Then by royal decree they declared that all these property owners had died in the Great Fire, and the Senate was appointed trustees for these estates. As trustees, they could demand a percentage of the crops and assess excessive taxes. If the owner couldn't pay, he went to prison or surrendered his daughters as bond slaves. If the original owner died, the estate was sold, usually to a member of the Senate, and the gold held in trust. All the original estate owner had to do to stop this insanity was to hire a scribe, the equivalent of a modern-day lawyer, and decree that he had not died in the Great Fire, and was in fact alive and quite capable of managing his own estate and serve it on the Roman Senate. Few Romans were intelligent to know what to do and subsequently lost everything. All land deeds in colonial America used to be eloidial deeds, which recognized our individual sovereignty and ownership, whereas current fee simple deeds only recognizes the state and are an open-end deed that are never closed or finalized. What does this mean, you are probably asking? This was the point Congressman James Traficant was making in his famous address on the House of Representatives floor back in 1993. Eloidial recognizes you as the king of your land. You make the rules on your land, and nobody and no government can trespass on your property. You are recognized as the king, and revered and respected, and have absolute right to use lethal force to protect your property. No government can tax your land, and the title is passed down from parent to child or husband to wife, etc. No bank will ever loan money against an eloidial property, because the bank has no way to foreclose against it, but it will lend money against your chattel, livestock or crops, and people. The fee simple deed recognizes you only as a tenant on the property. The state makes the rules on your land, and anybody can trespass upon your property. You actually lease the property from the land trust, which belongs to the Holy Roman Catholic Church. The deed can only be passed down to family members upon your death, but not before your descendants open an estate in probate, which means the state receives a percentage of everything the descendant once owned. In simple terms, the home or property you thought you owned is not truly yours. Check your deed if you have a paid-off mortgage, and the deed will say tenant and not owner, where you signed at the bottom of the deed. I learned this the hard way many years ago on a piece of property I purchased and built a 10-room house on it. Even now, my wife and I are living in a family home originally purchased by my wife's parents and their brother and his wife. Both my wife's parents have long since passed on, and my wife's uncle, who lives on the first floor of the house, are the only surviving descendants. No estate was opened when my wife's parents and her uncle's wife died. We have lived in the house as a continuing family. Should the day come to sell the property, we are faced with a major legal headache. The house was purchased in the names of two brothers and two sisters. In fact, the property cannot currently be sold until the estate is opened and probated by the state of Pennsylvania. While we can live in it so long as the taxes and utilities are paid, but we can't sell it without an estate probate. When former, now deceased, Congressman James Traficant delivered that speech on the floor of the U.S. House of Representatives, he opened a can of worms that had been hidden behind an illusion of America. Up until that point, March 17, 1993, it was not public legal knowledge that the country was bankrupt and being held in trust by powers outside of the USA. Once Congressman Traficant gave that address on the House floor, it became included in the Congressional Record, Volume 33, page H-1303, for all to see. Doing so caused James Traficant to be prosecuted and railroaded from office and expelled from the Congress on trumped-up charges, which led to him serving 8 years in a federal prison. Most people thought James Traficant was some sort of a Congress clown like George Carlin, but Mr. Traficant was an intelligent comedian. Unfortunately, most Americans are so dumbed down that they fail to understand the implication of James Traficant's address. But his enemies well knew the damage that he had done, regardless of whether anyone fully grasped his address that day. The proverbial cat was out of the bag about America being bankrupt. If the descendants are short of cash, the property is auctioned off, or a loan mortgage can be obtained from a bank. In a loan situation, the deed to the property is encumbered by the bank. This means that the bank is entitled to be satisfied first if the loan is defaulted on for non-payment. This process is known as foreclosure. The banks have arranged for the Vatican, the judge, the clerk, the bank, and the lawyer to each receive a portion of the foreclosure. If you are unmarried and you fail to leave a last will and testament, the state can reclaim your property and leave your descendants with nothing. It is as simple as that. With this change in deeds from allodial deed to fee simple deed, your property can be taken by the state. A land deed trust was created, and the Roman Catholic Church was designated the owner of the trust. The state and the courts become the trustees, and we the people become a corporate tenant. Here is where it gets to be a sticky mess. In every trust, there is an owner, a trustee, and a beneficiary. The owner cannot be the trustee, and neither of them can become the beneficiary, so we ignorant human beings have been appointed as the beneficiaries of the trust. Into that trust, they have entered other valuable property, birth certificates of corporations, our birth certificates, and our Social Security accounts, which are converted into national securities and marketed as mutual fund investments. I hope you are still with me in navigating through this maze of legalese. There is a trick here, and that is how to avoid giving these ignorant humans the benefit of the trust. The benefits of the trust. The solution arrived at by the lawyers, politicians, is to convert these ignorant humans into legal subcorporations. Corporations, as such, are companies that have no inalienable rights. Americans who believe they have just purchased a home and land have been lied to by the government, the bank, and their lawyer. They all lie as a precaution against inciting another American revolution. You just can't do anything you want when you buy a piece of land. I purchased a 3/4 acre lot in 1972, and my plan was to build a 10-room house on it. But it is far more complex than I realized at the time. The state or county or municipality has a series of regulations and requirements before you so much as even turn a spade of dirt. A series of permits enters the picture. I couldn't even so much as chain a goat to the property to eat the weeds and grass. I purchased the 3/4-acre lot for $3,500 in 1972 from the farmer to which was selling surveyed lots for residential development. However, in reality, I was not the owner, merely a tenant, and I merely thought I was the owner. In the small type of all fee simple deeds is the wording that specifies that the buyer is the tenant and not the owner. Your lawyer set up that little piece of fraud, never told you about it, and hoped you never asked about that small type below the signature block, and then charged you a fee for his services. Americans keep electing these lawyers to high political office, and you keep wondering why your life is so much harder today than it was for your parents. Lawyers are the single most professional background for politicians of all public office. I almost forgot to note, that's not all. In the small print of that deed is a poorly worded contract between you and the state government, wherein you consent to pay the property taxes on this deed and directs the state to send the tax notice in care of your name and address, and by signing all the deed transactions you have agreed to another fraudulent debt. The tax debt guarantees that you can never own or reside on that property without paying whatever the taxes are on it year after year. Your lawyer set that tax debt, too, and he receives a large percentage of your first tax bill for arranging that one. The ecclesiastical laws of England, Ireland, France, and America now give the Pope absolute superiority over all governmental law, decisions, and orders governing these countries. That would have been normally a reasonable concession to God. However, the Vatican is a cult and a corporation and is all about power and control and wealth, supervised by the false Vicar of Christ. At this point, before closing off, you should be aware of or reminded of the fact from a previous post concerning the capital of this country, the corporate United States of America. When I stated that the nation's capital, the District of Columbia, is owned by the Vatican for payment of the debt incurred by borrowing $60 million in gold from Rome, I stated that the Federal Reserve System is owned by 10 Rothschild banks, in reality 10 Vatican banks. The interest paid to service the national debt is paid to an IMF bank branch in Puerto Rico, a territory of the corporate United States of America, not a U.S. state. Every April 15th, when U.S. taxpayers send in to the IRS, their check is deposited into an account of the International Monetary Fund. After a period of 1 year, those funds are distributed to the UK and the Vatican. 40% to the UK and 60% to the Vatican. This debt is a debt in perpetuity, which means it can never be repaid or reduced to zero. The Federal Reserve System guaranteed its original investors a profit return of 6% on their shares, which can never be sold. That 6% is not simple 6%, it is compounded at 6%. In simple math, there will never be enough money in the system to pay off all the debt that has ever been accrued since 1913. The existing system is at the end of the road, so to speak. This is why we have to have a currency reset. The end result will be a cashless society built around the mark of the beast. Christians understand the end game of all that, but simply lack the wherewithal to understand how it came to this point. Correcting a previous sentence should read, "This is why we will have to have a currency reset." continuing from where I left off. More on that in a future post. But there is more to confirm the fact that the corporate United States of America is the property of the Vatican. The United States of America, Inc., is registered in the state of Delaware as a religious nonprofit corporation. In a previous post, I noted that the District of Columbia was acquired by Rome as compensation for the $60 million of borrowed Vatican gold by both the Union and the Confederacy during the Civil War. $40 million by the Union and $20 million by the Confederacy. At the close of the hostilities of the U.S. Civil War, the victor was required to pay the entire debt to the Vatican. Payment, however, had to be made in gold, bullion, or land. No fiat paper money. Lincoln greenbacks. Having virtually no gold, the United States of America paid the debt off by the Treaty of 1871, deeding the 10-square-mile District of Columbia back to the Roman Catholic Church. Law school students doing the research a few years ago soon discovered that Dun and Bradstreet has the District of Columbia listed as being owned by Archbishop Derek R. McLeod of Basilica Shrine of the Immaculate Conception, located at Michigan and 4th in E Street, Washington, D.C. The deceased former Supreme Court Justice Felix Frankfurter once said, quote, "The real rulers in Washington are invisible and exercise power from behind the scene," unquote. A picture of the State of Delaware incorporation page for the United States of America incorporation document, identifying it, the USA, as a religious non-profit entity, can be seen at the blog site Nubius Nebulous. Search the words United States of America, Inc., registered in Delaware as a religious nonprofit corporation. Then open the article to see a picture of the Delaware incorporating record. If you do so, read the whole article because it contains much more than I have shared here. I know of at least another half dozen sites that show the Delaware incorporating document as well. All of this had come as no real surprise given what Tupper Southey revealed in his book Rulers of Evil, in which he noted that when Washington, D.C. was laid out in surveyor plot maps, identified the White House as lot number 666 with the upside-down pyramid Baphomet illustration resting on the White House. While many Roman Catholic priests are gentle, kind, and well-meaning in their ministry, the evil Jesuits and priests promoted to bishops and cardinals are the truly evil ones. Religious perversion of priests makes it virtually impossible for the fallen priest to ever leave the church, because once he does, he loses the protection of the church. Every time a priest falls or slips up, the Pope gains another soldier who cannot refuse the chance to serve the accommodation of the Pope. As a closing point, the reason that the IRS uses a bank in Puerto Rico to deposit your income tax payments, which is a U.S. territory, has to do with the fact that Puerto Rico was acquired from Spain and that it operates under Spanish law. This was never changed by the United States Corporation when Puerto Rico became a U.S. territory. All tax payment checks are deposited into an IMF trust account, not a U.S. Treasury account. There has not been a U.S. Treasury since 1933, when the United States of America went bankrupt, and has continued to be held in trust for its receivers' creditors, Federal Reserve System, and the Vatican. That fact was brought out in the address by Congressman James Traficant. If the reader wants proof of such, then read his written speech. It is noted in an early paragraph of the speech, as I recall, that it is somewhere around the fourth paragraph, where it is stated that the Secretary of the Treasury serves as an unpaid or receives no compensation for his representing the U.S. government. I can't begin to stress enough the importance of former, now deceased, Congressman James Traficant. If you were to make out your check as tax payment on April 15th of next year, payable to the U.S. Treasury, your check would be returned to you. Virtually nearly everything you were taught in school has been a huge lie, a scam of astronomical proportion. We are slaves of Rome, and your King James Bible has all but confirmed it. The real or true history is not taught in the public schools of America. The reality of the Jesuit Counter-Reformation strategy morphed its public image during the 1960s, and what could not be achieved by war began to be unveiled through diplomacy with the Second Vatican Council. 1962 through 65 became years of public transformation on the part of Rome. Few Americans are aware that the Council of Trent's anathemas against the Protestants of the Church. Vatican II did not refer to the anathemas of the Council of Trent. They merely referenced Trent. Between 1545 through 1564, Rome issued over 120 anathemas. The condemning of people to hell for disagreeing with the Roman Catholic Church. It is important that the reader never forget that Vatican II never annulled, repealed, or rescinded any of those anathemas issued against Protestants. For all intent and purpose, the Council of Trent, Rome's response to Martin Luther's 95 Theses, is still on the books. The ecumenical movement of the last half century has positioned the world to be swallowed up by Rome and its union of church and state. Rome more than once has said that Rome does not change. I recommend the reader read Fox's Book of Martyrs. Bibliography: nothing has been added since Part 10 or earlier. God bless, Pastor Bob. Unquote.